This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Major's with us. He's on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're getting to Major's health and his prominent guest on the takeout before this lengthy segment is done. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. It is not a pleasure to talk about this subject, though. One of the more stunning press conferences I've ever watched and listened to, with the explanation about what happened while these kids were waiting and barricaded in a room and just utter incompetence by the chief of police. So now we wonder if this is a time where any action will take place in D.C. I watched the morning show on the network you work at. John Dickerson talking about a number of senators, more centrist senators, meeting, and a lot of what they're pushing for is to try to push states, Minnesota included, where we don't have red flag laws, to get that done. Number one, is that all they can get? And do you think anything else will emerge, or by the time we get to Monday, by the time we get to Tuesday, people are just going to be entrenched in their position, and it's going to be no different than Sandy Hook, no different than so many other times where there's sorrow, there's sadness, but I've got my position, you've got your position, and I'm not meeting you anywhere near halfway.
So I'm not going to fall into the pattern of journalism on this. The pattern of journalism, understandably, because we have a lot of experience, myself included, is to say, based on what we know and based on what we've observed, it's unlikely something is going to happen. All that's true, but it's a pattern. And I've come to believe, Chad, that that pattern serves the interests of inaction.
Yes, sir.
I believe the proper journalistic approach is to say, why aren't you, what is stopping you from doing something? And to just keep asking that question over and over and over. And not say, well, nothing's happening, that's what I'm reporting. No. The question is, why is something not happening? Because it seems to me abundantly, painfully, hideously clear, after not just Uvalde, but Buffalo, the shooting that same Buffalo weekend in a church in Southern California, and everything that preceded it, that it is no longer tolerable as a citizen of this country to say, this is what we built this country for, because it isn't. And if political leaders know that the journalistic norm is to say, well, it appears nothing's going to happen, and we're going to stop asking, guess what? Nothing is going to happen. So, and I believe reporters are changing their point of view on this.
Good.
But the question has to constantly be, why isn't something, you political leader, whoever you are, whatever party, your position is that there is nothing America can do, that there is no legislative means by which you can find any remedy, not perfect remedy, not a blanket that would protect us forever, but there's literally nothing we can do. When in this country, we devote energy and attention to making sure that the line at a car wash moves more rapidly if it's inefficient.
Yep.
We
exactly
move heaven and earth to make sure that our apps give us what we want instantaneously as we want it, even at 30,000 feet. We will complain and agitate to make sure Netflix properly remembers our streaming order. And there's nothing we can do? That's not an acceptable, it's not a rational, and I think worth noting, it is not an American answer. The American answer, as I grew up, was this is a problem, whatever it is. And because we are ingenious, adaptive, energetic Americans, we're going to keep working on it to make it better. That seems to have receded intellectually, spiritually, and politically from this conversation. And that has to stop.
So, and that was beautifully and powerfully stated, and I agree with you 1,000%. So now I want you to put on your analyst hat. Why isn't it changing? Why doesn't anything move? Stopping with, well, we have to, this won't solve everything, so we're not going to do anything. What is stopping it?
There's a couple of things. One, it's a very hard problem. Okay, it's a very hard problem. In a free society, which has as many firearms as this free society does, and if anyone thinks, I know better, O'Rourke thought that it was a really good idea to say in the teeth of the 2020 Democratic primary, yes, I'm going to come after your guns.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in the foreseeable future. It's a difficult problem. People in isolation, particularly young men, 18 in Buffalo, 18 in Uvalde, isolated, alone, hardened, embittered, vengeful, and with access to weapons of war, and there's no other way to describe an AR-15 style rifle than as a weapon of war, this is a very hard problem. You cannot harden everything to its maximum degree. You cannot put 17 armed police officers in every aisle at every grocery store in America or at every door of every schoolhouse in America. It's a hard problem. Okay? My point is, if one side says anything that says to me, you are blaming the weapon, I will defend against and I will tell you you're wrong. And if the other side says, if all you want to talk about is mental health and the fragility of the American psyche, that's not enough, because a fragile American psyche can't repel three armed officers in a schoolhouse with a knife. But that person can with an AR-15. We have to agree that this is a combination of hard things and be willing to give up some of the positions we have previously taken. And I will say this, there has become a hardened, very hardened, absolutist notion of firearms rights in this country. Several states, Texas included, have passed provisions called constitutional carry. Chad, audience, hear me now. That is a bumper sticker. That is a slogan, and it's really an offensive joke. The Constitution, don't believe me, believe the conservative majority in the Heller case in D.C.
Yes, sir.
That expanded access to gun rights, said there is not an unlimited right to firearms in this country. So constitutional carry doesn't mean what it sounds like. So, oh, the Constitution says anyone can have a gun. No,
right.
You can't. But no. That hardened position has become anything that encroaches on that is some sort of form of tyranny. It is not. And those who hold that position have got to reconcile themselves to that attitude permeating the minds of impressionable, embittered young men who then obtain weapons, produce mayhem, slaughter, and death. They didn't want that to happen. They didn't ask for that to happen. But their policies lead, whether they wish to or not, inexorably to that outcome.
This is why we have Major Garrett on the show. Words like this, which matter so much. We also talked to Major about what's going on in his life. And sadly and unfortunately, you tested positive earlier this week for COVID.
Sunday.
Most importantly,
yes.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine. And I will tell you this. The first 2 days, I was a bit wobbly. I was not completely whacked out with COVID, primarily, I believe, because I am twice vaxxed and twice boosted, and I'm proud to say that. My last booster was May 9th. I tested positive Sunday morning. I felt the symptom onset Saturday. And I had fatigue, headache, chills, and fever for 2 days. My doctor saw him virtually Tuesday, put me on Paxlovid, which is an antiviral, mm-hmm. of which there is yep. abundant supply. Pharmacies have it. The federal government is ramping up its distribution of it. Began taking it Tuesday. Instantly, within 24 hours, began feeling better. So I'm fine. I really am. I think you can hear it in the timbre of my voice. No congestion, no lingering symptoms whatsoever. However, I'm still testing positive, so I've got 5 more days of isolation to go through.
And appropriately enough, who is your guest on the takeout this week?
So I had a very big week planned of travel and assignments. I was going to anchor special coverage on our streaming network of the Georgia primary. Of course, all of that was blown out. I was supposed to substitute for Nora this weekend over Memorial Day. That's blown out of the water. We had a very good guest who will come back, and when it happens, I'll let everyone know. We scrubbed all the in-person stuff, everything I was doing, and we picked up the phone and said, Dr. Fauci, do you want to do a house call, effectively? And if you listen to the show, the first 2 segments are basically my house call with Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, not because it matters in the grand scheme of things that I got COVID.
But it represents to other people what they may be facing or what they will face.
And something that's going on right now. Anecdotally, you talk to your friends, people are getting it. People who are vaxxed and boosted are getting it. And Dr. Fauci has a very calm, rational, scientific explanation as to why.
I was there a month ago, sir. Very similar to you, and took some twists and turns, but I'm much better, and I'm glad to hear.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Be well.
I thought, 26 months, I'm going to be one of those people they study. I'm not getting it. And then boom.
Oh, trust me, they're still going to study it, but if there's other reasons, we have to talk about off here. Okay, we don't have time for that right now. All right, sir. Talk to you soon.
Touche, my friend. Touche.
He is the best. Major Garrett here on CCO. What is our music theme today, Dan Cook?
This is just the current top 10 on the top 40 chart.
I like it.
Yeah. Why not, right?
I've heard this song. Who is it, though?
Lotto, right? Big Energy.
I got it today.
Yeah, you do.
I got the big energy today. Because I slept about 45 minutes. I got the big energy today, and I'm still just disgusted, angry, furious about the decision by the chief of police down there. Makes no sense. Mike Osterholm and Shaletta Brundage next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.